Tadvaipadam Bhagavatam Paramasya Pumso Brahmeti Yad Vidur Ajasra Sukham Visokam Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This is a long translation and a long and very technical purport. It requires complete attention. What is realized as the Absolute Brahman is full of unlimited bliss without grief. That is certainly the ultimate phase of the Supreme Enjoyer, the Personality of Godhead. He is eternally void of all disturbances and fearless. He is complete consciousness as opposed to matter, uncontaminated and without distinctions. He is the principal primeval cause of all causes and effects, in whom there is no sacrifice for fruitive activities, and in whom the illusionary energy does not stand. Purport. The Supreme Enjoyer, the Personality of Godhead, is the Supreme Brahman, or the Sunam Bonum, because of His being the Supreme Cause of all causes. The conception of impersonal Brahman realization is the first step, due to its distinction from the illusionary conception of material existence. In other words, impersonal Brahman is a feature of the Absolute, distinct from the material variegatedness, just as light is a conception distinct from its counterpart, darkness. But the light has its variegatedness, which is seen by those who further advance in the light, and thus the ultimate realization of Brahman is the source of the Brahman light, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the sunam bonum of the ultimate source of everything. Therefore, meeting the Personality of Godhead includes the realization of the impersonal Brahman as realized at first in contrast with the near material inebriety. So Prabhupada, what is he saying here so you can get a clear clarification? The first stage from going to the darkness of ignorance is the impersonal Brahman, which is there's no variegatedness. But that impersonal Brahman, which has no variegatedness, has its source in the Supreme Lord, which is full of variegatedness. Okay, that's so far. Therefore, meeting the Personality of Godhead includes the realization of the impersonal Brahman as realized at first in contrast with material liberty. The Personality of Godhead is the third step of Brahman realization. As explained in the first canto, one must understand all the three features of the Absolute: Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. Patibodha Matram is just the opposite conception of material existence. In matter, there are many material miseries, and thus, in the first realization of Brahman, there is the negation of such material inebrieties, and there's a feeling of eternal existence distinct from the pains of birth, death, disease, and old age. This is the primary conception of the impersonal Brahman. So what is the first characteristic of the impersonal Brahman? No material miseries. So that is the first stage of God realization. And as one enters into God realization, all material miseries go. This is the Brahman realization. The Supreme Lord is the supreme soul of everything. And therefore, in the supreme conception, affection is realized. So in Brahman, there's no affection, but in the Supreme Lord, there is affection. The conception of affection is due to the relationship of soul to soul. Affection means two. A father is affectionate to his son because there is some relationship of nearness between the son and the father. But that sort of affection on the material world is full of material inebrieties. When the Personality of Godhead is met, the fullness of affection becomes manifested because of the reality of the affectionate relationship. So, the father and son have loving relationships, but when they actually meet and come together, then the affection is realized. So when the soul comes in contact with the Lord, then that affection is manifested. He is not the object of affection by material tinges of body and mind, but he is the full, naked, uncontaminated object of affection for all living entities, because he is the super soul or paramatma within everyone's heart. In the liberated state of affairs, the full-fledged affection for the Lord is awakened. So there's nothing material within that relationship. As such, there is an unlimited flow of ever-existing happiness, everlasting happiness, without the fear of its being broken, as we have experienced here in this material world. The relationship with the Lord is never broken, thus there is no grief and no fear. Such happiness is inexplicable by words, and there can be no attempt to generate such happiness by worldly fruitive activities or by arrangements of sacrifices. So Prabhupada is saying, one cannot describe the nature of that happiness because words cannot reach that description, and that relationship is never broken. Once established, it's never broken. And that relationship has nothing to do with anything of the relationships in this world. But we must also know that happiness, unbroken happiness, exchanged with the Supreme Person, the Personality of Godhead, as described in this verse, transcends the impersonal conception of the Upanishads. In the Upanishads, the description is more or less negation of the material conception of things. But this is not denial of the transcendental senses of the Supreme Lord. So, the first, in material life, you know, there is so many sufferings. But when one comes to the beginning, the impersonal conception, then all miseries go. But there is no happiness like it's described in the Upanishads. The happiness that is described in the Upanishads is the happiness that comes with freedom from suffering. If you're not suffering, you might say, I'm happy. But really, you're not happy, you're just not suffering. Happiness is a whole different realm of experience. Suffering is the opposite. So one can say, well, because I'm not suffering, I'm happy. No. Material life is like that. When someone is not suffering, they consider themselves happy. But spiritual life, happiness is a whole experience different from anything else. Herein also, the same is affirmed in the statement about the material elements. They are all transcendental, free from all contaminations of material identification. And also the liberated souls are not devoid of senses. Otherwise, there cannot be any reciprocation of unhampered spiritual happiness exchanged between them in spontaneous, unbroken joy. So the senses also play a part, but these senses are the senses, the spiritual senses, not the material senses. All the senses, both of the Lord and the devotees, are without material contamination. They are so because they are beyond the material cause and effects, as clearly mentioned here, sad asatat param. The illusory material energy cannot work there, being ashamed before the Lord and his transcendental devotees. In the material world, the sense activities are not without grief, but here it is clearly said that the senses of the Lord and the devotees are without any grief. There is a distinct difference between material and spiritual senses, and one should understand it without denying the spiritual senses because of a material conception. So we also have spiritual senses, but they're covered. They're covered by these material senses. Purification means to remove the covering, and then the spiritual senses become awakened. And when the spiritual senses become awakened, one experience the nature of transcendence. And what is that? Unlimited joy, unlimited knowledge. The senses in the material world are surcharged with material ignorance. Senses are always imperfect and are always full of mistakes, always full of illusion, and are always cheating. Defects of the conditioned soul, all based on the senses. In every way, the authorities have recommended purification of the senses from the material conception. In the material world, the senses are manipulated for individual and personal satisfaction, where in the spiritual world, the senses are properly used for the purpose of which they were originally meant, namely, the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. Such sensual activities are natural, and therefore sense gratification there is uninterrupted and unbroken by material contamination, because the senses are spiritually purified. And such satisfaction of the senses is equally shared by the transcendental reciprocators. Since the activities are unlimited and constantly increasing, there is no scope for material attempts or artificial arrangements. Such happiness of transcendental quality is called Brahma Sakyam, which will be clearly described in the fifth canto. End of purport. Om Agyan Chimidandasya Jina Jina Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitamyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapti Tamyena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svam Tadati Kam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunitananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Sivasari Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth is one, but it's divided into three: Brahma, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. We might use an analogy to help give a little clarification of what are these different stages. Say you see a mountain from a distance, a real far distance, and that mountain, it looks simply like a cloud. You've seen mountains from a distance, sometimes it just looks like a big giant cloud, kind of dark. You can't see anything. You see, do you know that there's a mountain there? But there is no real clear vision of the mountain. That is like the Brahman realization. In the Brahman realization, there is no variety. One is in contact with the object, but one cannot really understand what is the nature of the object. As you go closer to the mountain, you see that, oh, it's a mountain, and it has forests, trees. You see it from you're still looking at it from a distance, but you see that it's a mountain, and it has trees, it has, you know, different rocks and so many things. And that's like Paramatma realization. You can see something in the Absolute Truth, and it becomes localized. You see the individual trees, you see the individual rocks. Then, when you go on the mountain itself, then you realize there's houses, and there's people, and there's life, and there's so many things going on. That's like a realization of the Supreme Lord. Personality with variety. In the impersonal, there is no variety. There's simply a cessation of suffering, that's all. But the majority of those who practice spiritual life, especially those who practice according to the Vedic traditions, are more or less interested in realizing Brahman. Realizing Brahman. They perform austerities. They worship the Lord in the form of doing pujas and various things in order, they study the Vedas, in order to get freedom from material entanglement. And what do they want to do? They want to merge. Or what do they want to come into the nature of the Absolute without doing any service? No service. Just somehow or other freeing themselves from the material entanglement. This is called Brahman realization. First stage of God realization. But one cannot experience love. There's no love on that level because there's no service. And without service, there's no love. Service is the basis for awakening love. So when one engages in devotional service, then one takes that knowledge and applies it in a practical day-to-day setting of activities. And through the application, with the service attitude, the devotion, then what has happened, the heart becomes awakened. And then purification of the heart begins. And then one starts to experience the personality of Godhead through devotional service. One starts to feel, at first, one starts to feel freedom from material suffering, and one starts to develop knowledge of God. And one starts to feel happy, peaceful at first. First step is peace. One starts to feel the turbulence of living in the material world starts to slow down. Gradually becomes less and less and less and less. One starts to feel peaceful. And then, from peace comes happiness, because without peace there's no question of happiness. A person cannot be happy if they're not peaceful. And peace means to be freedom, free from the entanglement of material energy. As long as one is entangled in the material energy, one cannot be peaceful. It's like in this world, people want peace. But it's not possible as long as one is trying to enjoy the material energy. Because when you try to enjoy the material energy, you get two things. You get suffering and enjoyment. If you try to enjoy, you get suffering too. You get both. Because that's the nature of the material world. You can't just have one. There's no such thing as just, you know, uninterrupted material bliss. It's just not set up like that. That's not the program. It's set up that whatever happiness you got, you can expect you're going to get some misery based on the amount of happiness you get. That's the material energy. So one has to accept both within the material energy. So when one comes to the spiritual platform, one starts to feel the waves of the material suffering started to decrease. And gradually one starts to, when mind becomes a little settled, one starts to, appreciate more finer and simple things in life. Or in the material world, it's just like a hard struggle simply to maintain one's body. So difficult just to live in this world. So difficult. So, first stage is one starts to become, but there's no love in that stage until one actually develops a devotional service attitude. Then, by engaging the senses, Atasi Krishna Namadi, Navavedrayam Indriyam, Sevamukhihi Jivado. Jivado means tongue. Swayam Eva Spuratyada. The first step in spiritual practice is to engage the tongue. Purify the tongue, and that means engage the tongue in the service of the Lord. And what is the feature of the tongue? What are the two quality characteristics that the tongue does? Speech and eating. Vibration and accepting food. And these two things are the beginning of spiritual life. We chant the holy names of the Lord, we eat Krishna prasadam. This controls the tongue, and as the tongue becomes controlled, the mind starts to become settled, and then the senses also become peaceful, like that. So this is the beginning of spiritual life, to control all the senses by controlling the tongue. glorification of the Lord by chanting the holy names and taking nice Krishna prasadam, food offered to the Lord in devotion. And then the mind and body starts to become peaceful and satisfied and happy. Then, as we engage the senses in the service of the Lord, now the senses are still material. We engage them in the service of the Lord. They still have this covering over it. The coverings are lust, anger, greed, illusion, pride, and envy. These are the contaminations that cover the senses and mind. But as one engages in devotional service, using the senses in the service of the Master, Rishikena, Rishikesha, Sevanam Bhakti Uttam. And one should use the senses in the service of the Lord. The senses are like, we'll call them servants or serpents. Servants or serpents. If you live with a serpent, you're going to die. Because what does a serpent do? It bites. And when it bites, it gives you poison. And if you get poison, you die. So in the same way, the senses, when they're used to satisfy their selfish interests, they're like serpents. They bite or they destroy the living entity's spiritual qualities and characteristics. So when the senses are engaged in the service of the master of the senses, Rishikesh, they become servants and they assist the soul in attaining its realization of God. And then the service senses become purified. So purification of one's existence is the purpose of Krishna consciousness. How to purify our life. We've come to this material world and this material world is like, it's like a hospital. And if you walk into a hospital, everybody's sick, right? And if you come into that atmosphere, you're going to get sick too. Just like if you go into a room full of sick people. You may be healthy, but because the atmosphere is full of bacteria and disease, immediately you become affected by that. So being in the material world means to be in a disease condition. It means to be in a disease condition. Because we are not meant to enjoy matter. Spirit cannot enjoy matter. We are spiritual. To try to enjoy matter is like trying to capture smoke. Have you ever tried to catch smoke? You can see it, right? But go and reach it and grab it. You open your hand. How much smoke can you catch? You see it, and you can grab it, but when you open it, you get nothing. So in the same way, material energy works in such a way, it presents itself as an object of enjoyment, but when you go to get it, you get something else. Or you get nothing, really. Actually, you get something else. You get frustration. So that is material world. So therefore, the soul, which is by nature eternal, and has a transcendental loving relationship with the Lord, when it tries to enjoy matter, it gets suffering instead. That's all. That's why everyone's suffering, because they try to enjoy this material world. Prahlad Maharaj says, if you want to be happy, do one thing. Stop trying to become happy. Make sense? Could you imagine a billboard in the middle of the highway saying, here's the solution for happiness. Don't try to be happy. Nobody will listen to that. But it's the reality. Because the more one tries to become happy by material activities, the more one experiences suffering. That's the way it is. So therefore, when the senses are diverted away from material activities and towards the service of the Lord, and then when they're fully engaged in the service of the Lord, that is called absorption. Or you might even call it samadhi. Complete absorption of the mind and senses in the service of the Lord is the perfection of life with the desire to please the Lord by that activity. That is the purpose. So here, when that relationship develops through service, then affection starts to manifest. So Prabhupada's saying, it's like a son may never see his father. His father may have gone away when he was a little boy, and his father has been gone for so many years. But then the son has grown up, and his father comes back. So there's a natural affection between the son and the father. It's there. But because they haven't been together, the affection was never experienced. But as soon as the meeting comes, because the natural affection is there, again, the experience is there. So we have a natural loving affection for Krishna. And as soon as we again come back to Krishna, that affection is awakened. That affection is awakened. It's an experienced. And Prabhupada says, then the joy of that relationship becomes unlimitedly, what we say, it just keeps, it becomes, it's unhampered, unlimited spiritual happiness based on an exchange of unbroken joy. Spontaneous, Prabhupada says, spontaneous, unbroken joy, like that. Try to have that in the material world. It's not possible. Even if you have the ideal situation, you can imagine, what would be the ideal material situation? Can anyone imagine that? What, if someone asked you, what would be your conception of an ideal material situation, what would you say? What would you say? Does anybody have any conceptions? I guess you all gave up all your conceptions of ideal material situation. What would be the ideal material situation? If you could imagine, you know, whatever was possible within this material creation, that would be the situation you could have. Anybody want to give an example? Yeah. It's not possible. We're talking about something that's possible. He wants to be Krishna. The position's already filled, I'm sorry. You can put your application in somewhere else. To be able to control and accumulate as much as possible without any challenges or obstacles like that. That would be like that, yes. What would be your... The ideal, the perfection of material happiness would be to be as simple as possible with no distractions from anything. That's pretty sattvic. Yes. That was rajasic. This was sattvic. Yes. Complete power of the senses to enjoy unlimitedly within the senses. I mean, that's what most people want to be. They take all kinds of, things into their body to make their senses stronger so they can enjoy. That would be a good, yes, what would you consider to be the ideal material? Being in the position of Lord Brahma. That's pretty good. It's the best one, I think. Yeah, but the point is, even whatever position or whatever situation you can describe that's ideal, it ends. That's the problem. No matter what it is, it's going to end. And therefore, why, what is that verse? Tasyaipo hetu patite na kovito, na labhyate pramata upariyata. Talabhyate anyatukanya anyasukyam kalena sarvatra kambira ramhasa. Beautiful verse. That one who is actually intelligent and philosophically inclined should not aspire for any position all the way up to the highest position in this material world, Lord Brahma, down to the lowest. Why? because all these situations are temporary. And the verse goes on to say, as far as happiness from material sense gratification is concerned, that you get automatically. This is the thing that people don't understand, that your happiness that's destined to you is destined to you according to your birth. You get so much material happiness, you get so much material suffering. When it's called karma, daiva nitrena. When you take birth, your happiness and your distress is already there within your bank account. You can't increase it or decrease it. But you can change how it comes. And that's what people think. Well, I'm increasing my happiness. No, you're just changing how it comes, that's all, by making some endeavors. Or you're changing how your distress comes, that's all. But you cannot increase the amount. The amount is fixed by your karma. So, what can you do? You can stop producing karma. And therefore, when you engage in devotional service, then the happiness you experience is not based on karma or anything in this material world. It's coming directly from the spiritual energy in contact with Krishna. So material happiness and distress, the verse actually says, why try for material happiness when it's going to come? Just like you don't try for material distress, but it comes anyway. So both of these things come by their own accord. There's no need to aspire for these things. Simply engage in devotional service and one will get Brahma Sokhyam. Brahma Sokhyam means that happiness that is unlimited and unending, coming from the soul. The relationship between the soul and the Supreme Soul in transcendental loving experience. We get a little bit of that in our beginning stages of devotional service. We feel happy. We feel peaceful. We feel, that our life is on the right course. We develop some knowledge. But these are just, what we say, concomitant, little tiny, what we say, gifts of the Lord at the beginning. There's a whole unlimited ocean of happiness and knowledge that's available in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in devotional service. So Prabhupada uses this whole purport practically to explain that material happiness, is different. Spiritual happiness is different from material happiness. And when the senses become engaged in devotional service, they become surcharged with spiritual happiness. And then ultimately, it's never ending. And Prabhupada says, once you establish your relationship with Krishna, there's no question of it ever being broken. Right? In this world, we want relationships, right? And we have our relationships with so many things. But guaranteed, the time factor destroys that. Even the best is gone. Finished. Time. Krishna says, I am time. Time takes everything away. Prabhupada says, your home, your bank account, your family, even your body, time will finish that. Time cannot affect one engaged in devotional service. One becomes transcendental to time. Or time works in the opposite way. It moves one towards the Supreme Lord in devotion. Instead of taking away everything that one lives for, that is material time. Material time. So, here, it's recommended that one uses the senses and engage in descent the service of the Lord. And when the Lord is pleased by one's devotional service, then it explains that one gets two things. Happiness and freedom from suffering. Knowledge and freedom from suffering. It comes automatically. Transcendental knowledge and freedom from suffering is simply a result of devotional service. Devotional service is directly in connection with the spiritual energy. So this is a very... And Prabhupada makes the point that the Upanishads talk about also about the impersonal conception. But The impersonal conception that's described in the Upanishads is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The happiness that is derived from that is nothing like the description in the Upanishads. The Upanishads are just giving us a simple fraction of that happiness. Any questions? Comments? Yes. We go through them, but not in a conscious way. I mean, the different stages of God realization manifest different aspects of the end. Of what are the symptoms of Brahman? What is the symptom? Prabhupada says, when you engage in devotional service, you're already liberated. Because bhakti is on the liberated platform. As long as one is engaging in devotional service, they're already outside of the material energy. So what is the symptom of that? No material suffering. No material anxieties. Start to develop knowledge and start to feel the happiness of devotional service. These are symptoms of the Brahman, but it's not exactly Brahman realization. Also, there's a realization of oneness. What is the Brahman realization? That everything is spiritual. So the realization of a devotee in devotional service, he realizes that Krishna and his energies are non-different. The energy of Krishna and Krishna himself are the same. They're also different, but one aspect of that understanding is that you can't separate the two. And Prabhupada used to say, everything is Krishna. Everything is Krishna. You're Krishna, I'm Krishna, this floor is Krishna, the car is, everything's Krishna. So that's the oneness. That is, everything is totally spiritual, coming from the Supreme Source, Krishna. So that's the absolute principle. But we don't accept just that limited understanding. And everything is Krishna at the same time, not Krishna. Simultaneously one and different, Chintya Beda Beda Tattva. So the oneness aspect, or the Brahman realization, is you understand everything is spiritual. Material simply means to see or to act separate from Krishna, that's all. If you're always acting in relationship to Krishna, you're on a spiritual platform. When you act independent, you're under the control of Krishna's material energy. What is the realization of Paramatma? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, when you thus know the truth, you'll see all living beings, they are my part and parcels, they're in me and they're mine, Krishna says. To see Krishna in the heart of all living beings is Paramatma realization. Simply to see the body is material. To see the soul, or to understand the soul within that body, there are two souls, not just one. The soul and the super soul. To see these two souls pervade all bodies. The living being and the Paramatma. And therefore, one relates to a person on that. What is that relationship? It's based on spiritual principles. So what is that relationship? For devotees, we make friends, and for the non-devotees, we preach. So that is seeing Krishna in the heart of all living beings. It's manifested in those activities, making friends and developing relationships with devotees and preaching to the non-devotees. And avoiding the atheists. That's also realization of Paramatma. Bhagavan realization means that, we know that, fully engaged in devotional service and engaged in trying to satisfy the senses of the Lord, full Krishna consciousness. and the variety of activities, and see in each of the varieties of activities as being the same. Whether I'm cleaning the floor and he's doing the puja, there's no difference. If one is cleaning the floor with devotion and one is doing the puja with devotion, there's no difference in that activity. But if one is cleaning the floor with devotion and one is doing the puja with the idea of getting it done, then the person cleaning the floor is in a higher consciousness. It's a matter of consciousness. It's Krishna consciousness. So when we see all activities as being, meant for the service of the Lord, to please the Lord. Abhyabhilasita sunya, jnana karma anavritam anukulena Krishna silanam bhakta uttamam. That is the perfectional stage of bhakti. The question is, why is everyone here in the material world? What's the quality of Krishna? What are the characteristics? He is the supreme controller. He is the supreme enjoyer. He controls everything, and everything is meant for his enjoyment. When you come to the material world, what do you try to do? You try to control the material energy so you can enjoy it. Hare Bol. It's the same thing. Except the problem is, we can't control the material world energy. And therefore, to try to be like Krishna is not possible. There's only one Krishna. So the material world is a place for those who want to imitate Krishna. That's all. But it's a pretty bad imitation. You can't do it. It's not possible. You become controlled by the thing. You want to control the material energy? Stop trying to control it, then you can control it. Because then, if you take shelter of Krishna, Krishna controls the material energy for you. He does it. But if you try to do it independent, you become controlled by it because it's more powerful than we are. Maya is embarrassed before the Lord and his pure devotees. Well, yeah, because Maya's she doesn't have a nice job. Her job is to take you away from Krishna. So she does it as a service. It's like the police officer. Maya's like the police officer. Police officer works under the supervision of the state in order to punish the criminal. But when the criminal becomes rectified and becomes a good citizen, then there's no need for the police officer anymore. So when we become, good citizens again, then Maya is embarrassed in our presence. She has no work to do. Okay, I'll let you go. Thank you very much. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jaya. Śrīmad Bhāgavatam ki jaya. Hari Bol.